We are challenged often by those words, "Take up your cross and follow me." And we can ask legitimately, what does that mean? Do I have to be crucified? Well, no. Do I have to want to die? No. Losing your life isn't necessarily physically dying. Our readings are intricately woven today to give us a clear understanding of what it is for us to take up our cross and follow Jesus. In our first reading, we meet Jeremiah, a prophet. He listened to God talk to him, and God said to him, "I love you. I will take care of you." And Jeremiah thought that meant God would provide for his every need, like we do. We go to God for every kind of thing you can imagine, like he's just waiting there like Santa Claus to give us whatever we want. And finally, Jeremiah figures it out, that being in a loving relationship with God isn't about getting something. And he says, in those very challenging words and prayer, "Lord, you duped me. You fooled me. I believed you when you said you loved me. And now I've lost the respect and goodwill of all my neighbors and friends. They reproach me because I speak of your love." That seems odd, doesn't it? That if somebody truly becomes loving as God is loving, everybody else would be upset with him. But it is the consistent picture that we get. The same thing happens to Jesus. He didn't do anything that caused difficulty. He cared about people. He was good to people. But if they couldn't manipulate him, if they couldn't get him to do what they wanted, if he wouldn't use his powers for their good, then they felt betrayed. So Jeremiah says, "You fooled me. You brought me into a loving relationship with you, and once I was there, I came to find out that being in a loving relationship with God does not mean what I thought it meant." We too learn that lesson. We go from our childhood where we have imaginings about God doing anything we want. We love the words in the scripture, "Whatever you ask, you will be given." But that isn't what it means. See, when you enter into a loving relationship with God, you don't need something and God doesn't need something. It is just that you love each other. And for some people, that's not enough. So they turn away from God and then they attack anybody who believes in God. We all might come to that place where Jeremiah is and say, "I feel like I was fooled into loving you. And now," Jeremiah says, "I can't do anything else. Even though everyone else reproaches me and insults me and threatens me, I can do nothing else except speak of your love." What a great lesson this is. So Jesus is talking to his followers, and he says, because they knew the prophets well, they knew the story of Jeremiah. Not because it was written in a book and they read it, but because they passed it on in oral tradition. They talked to each other about believing in God and about his prophets. So Jesus is talking to his followers and he says, "People all around me are attacking me. In effect, I don't deserve it. But you can't stop them from doing it. And so I know when I go to Jerusalem, I will be killed. They will confront me." And he says, "You too must follow me on my way." Well, they had to be startled by that. They had to try to ask themselves, what does it mean to follow Jesus? Does it mean we too have to offer ourselves to be crucified? And it doesn't. It means you have to be so established in the love of God that it is the only thing that matters in your life. Even if other people hate you for it, even if other people deride you for it, you will keep on being in love with God because you know God is in love with you. So he says to his followers, take up your cross and follow me, and you will lose your life, but you will gain it. And if you just look at the words on the surface, it seems so contradictory. But there's a depth to it. See, all of us come to that place in our lives where we have to choose between the goodwill of the people around us and being in love with God. It doesn't seem like we should have to make that choice. In fact, it's often Christians, those who say they believe in Christ, who force that choice. They don't say it directly. They don't say, you choose me or God. But if you don't tell them they're good, if you don't honor their mistakes, if you don't join in their gossip, if you don't participate in their way of living and say it's okay, then they feel betrayed. And they'll get you. Oh, for small things at first, but you'll come under criticism and reproach, just like Jeremiah did, just like Jesus does, just like all of the saints do. The saints are just ordinary people who find themselves in a constant state of challenge, and finally they make a choice for God. Finally, they choose that they will accept God's love as most important. Because what the people around them want to do is say, you have to earn my love. You don't have to earn God's love. See, that's an important difference. People who say, if you love me, you will do this, that's not love. That's a barter system. That's a trade-off. With God, there is no expectation of what we have to do to receive his gift. And so we can feel fooled and duped because we want that gift of God's love. And it makes us feel valued. It fills that emptiness within us that so often leads to sin. But we know we have to lose living in this world with its standards, in this culture with its bylaws. And let the Word of God, the message of God, be most important. It's a simple message. Everyone belongs. Well, there are people who don't want everyone to belong. And if you don't join them in their prejudices, then they'll insult you. Everyone's forgiven. They don't want everyone forgiven. They want people to pay a price for having hurt them. They want someone to suffer. They want a God who's going to seek retribution. See, when you meet the real and true loving God, he doesn't participate in those games. He just offers us his love, his forgiveness, his promise to take care of us forever. All you have to do is take up your cross and follow Jesus. Follow him to that place where you too choose to be in the love of God and know that it changes your life. How do you do that? We have the great words from our second reading. Do not conform yourself to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect. Possible for each one of us to conform ourselves to what is good, to what is in God and of God, that we may live this message, that we may make our choice during these coming days, is what we pray in Jesus' name, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.